Well, tonight, the message will be from Matthew's Gospel, from his good news. And please join me. Chapter 14, your Bibles there. I've got the NIV open, so I'll read from the NIV. But it is Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And you have to forgive me, I have ended up choosing two passages, both to do with water and boats. but there we are. Perhaps, it's Jesus' good news, isn't it? And it's for us tonight, even though it's on a similar physical situation, the message is for us today. So Matthew chapter 14 and beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed down into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is God's word to us tonight. Amen. Well, perhaps if I could just read a verse from a couple of chapters before, and then I'll read some of the account of the end of Matthew's Gospel, and then a verse from our passage that I just read. Back in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then at the end of Matthew's Gospel, this is what we read. "From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." Then after reading of the death of Jesus, we read slightly later in chapter 28 these words. "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Then go, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and he's gone ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him. They clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" And verse 27 from the passage that we read just now. "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Shall I pray? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that Jesus was sent to take away our fears. Lord, we thank you that you know how we're formed. Lord, you know our states of mind. You know the things that scare us, Lord, in our daily lives. Lord, in the future when we stop to think, Lord, the things that, Lord, make us not sleep easy, but, Lord, fail to fall asleep. Lord, you know all those things. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would allay those things, Lord, that you'd show us that Jesus has already dealt with all of them when he died for our sins, Lord, when he took our place, Lord, when he went through hell on our behalf. Lord, would you show us that Jesus has already stilled the stormy, raging waters of our lives. Lord, would you show us Jesus tonight? And Lord, show us the safety of church that you provide for sinners like us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Everything about you and me, everything about the person sitting next to you, everything about the people in front of you or behind you, everything about all of us naturally tells us that we need to stay away from Jesus. It's the way that we're wired as sinners. But with Jesus, everything about him, everything about his character, everything about the way he is, everything about how he feels about each one of you tells him he will come to you. He will come close. In fact, he already has in his death and his resurrection. And he does in today's passage come to the men in the middle of the storm, just like he does to people today in their lives. He comes close to Peter. He comes close to all the disciples there in the boat. He comes to them in the middle of their terror and in their fear. And he will come close to you. We can change our way of thinking about Jesus. We can repent. We can call, Lord, save me. Help. Come close. Those are the kind of prayers we find in the Gospels. Short prayers. We can turn as we pray. That is Jesus' message in the book of Matthew. Repent, he starts in chapter 3. Repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn around your way of thinking about Jesus this evening. Or come back to the way that you have thought about him before, but you've perhaps stopped this evening thinking about him that way. Turn around and you will find just how close he is to you. You will find him saving you. You will find him restoring you. You'll find him bringing heaven to you. But it doesn't feel like he is close. Not this evening. Not this last week or year or month. It doesn't feel like he's close in the mornings when I'm about to head off to work or school. It doesn't feel like his kingdom, where everything is different, is near. We tell ourselves, don't we, I feel a million miles off. And we do. Is that you? Do you feel like the ground underneath you is shaky and soft? Do you feel like things are going to give way in your life beneath your feet? Or even perhaps like you're treading water with your head barely above the surface? In this world, we will have trouble. There is hell on the inside that we feel, a trailer of hell. And hell comes from the outside too. And it can feel like you're running out of energy to keep treading that water. Friend, tonight, Jesus came for you. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, to swallow hell, to disarm death, to march over them, to leave them underneath his feet where they can't touch him. And he did it for you, Matthew's gospel says. This evening, our passage shows us that in the throes of this life, where it feels like hell is about to overwhelm you, Jesus, God's Son, is very near. He's on standby, ready to answer you the moment you ask. He has come to be with you throughout all the trouble and bring you safely to shore. But first, we have a problem. Whatever our age is, each of us has a problem. We are hardwired to say no to Jesus when he comes close. Even when we're in massive difficulty. While we do our things our way and keep him at arm's length, he can't grab us because he won't force himself on us. We are like disciples in the passage before our reading that we've had. In the passage before, there are 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, a vast crowd, a hungry crowd, a crowd that was tired and probably extended as far as the eye could see, full of people like you and me, people desperate for life, desperate to know hope, desperate to feel alive. And flocking to find it, and in fact, so much in a rush to go and get it that they forgot to take any food, any drink with them, just like we do. And listen to what the disciples say. The disciples in the passage before saw that crowd, and it says, as evening approached, they came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away, so that they can go to the villages and they can buy themselves some food." Jesus had the opposite feeling. In chapter 14, verse 14, it says that even though he was in grief after just losing his cousin, John the Baptist, it says when Jesus landed and saw that same large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. And then, of course, he goes on to feed them. As with the crowd then, so with us. Jesus comes to us in the middle of our problems, even when he is distressed himself. We prefer to send problems away. We prefer to get rid of them. We see something that we can't solve, and we're scared by it. And we see that it will be wrong to do what we have in mind to do. But you and me, we would rather do wrong than live with the problem. And so we say to that problem, go. Go away. Let them sort themselves out. You and me, we're unable to deal with the problems of life. But Jesus, he is able. In fact, he is life itself. He's where all life comes from. He's where every bit of creation has been made through. He's where eternal life comes from. He is the expression of the Father, the source of everything, the eternal Son, who everything was made by. And he brings the kingdom of heaven to us now in this fallen world, just where we are, in all our fears, in all our feebleness, and to our natural limits as creatures. He feeds all the people. He doesn't send one person away empty. He can and he does perfectly deal with all the problems of life. And he does so for every single person that he encounters in the book of Matthew. He doesn't send the problem away because he's not like us. He cares enough for the person through the problem. And he still does. Like in Matthew, so it is now. Rather than send the problems away, friend, you and me, we need to ask Jesus to help. We need to do things his way, the way he is wired, not the way we are. The passage says that not only does he deal with the problems of life, but he can and he does deal with the problems of hell and of death in your life. He does so because he loves you. He wants you to stop experiencing the kingdom of earth, this world, with all its terrors and uncertainties. He wants you to know his kingdom. He wants you to know just how close it is. You and I, truth be told, isn't it, already know that hell is real. We feel it. We're terrified of our guilt, unable to shake it. We're ashamed of the things that we have done, the things that come back to haunt us in our memories or when our minds are empty of other things. And you and I, when we remember these things, these flashes, these warnings that are allowed in our minds, you and I think there's no way out. And so we're afraid. A taste of hell on the inside, the scriptures talk about. And you and I are thrown about easily by the things that come from the outside too. Situations and circumstances that come our way. The reading tonight describes our lives, doesn't it? Just think of where the disciples are. It says there in verse 23, after he had dismissed the crowd, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Far away from land, buffeted by the waves, thrown here and there by them, and the wind against you. Can I ask you tonight, do you want what belongs to other people? Do you desire the stuff people have in their lives, or even their lives? Do you get angry quickly without cause? As Matthew's gospel says, are you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? None of us are we? Not one. We're like the disciples. We're lawbreakers who want to send problems away without compassion. And even when we know we shouldn't, we just got to do it because, well, we are not God. We're far from perfect. We're guilt-ridden on the inside, with circumstances in this fallen world against us. The storm on the lake is our lives. Maybe when you've been out to the beach, Robert Ness said the closest beach is Western, maybe, somewhere like that. Well, in Swansea, where Natalie and I live, we live up the hill, and you can see the sea, and from the back of our house, like only the dock bit. It's not that nice of you. But anyway, you can see the sea. But if you go down and look at the Bristol Channel, if you're at Western or on the other side in Swansea, in a storm, in the autumn or the winter, when the gale is really blowing, sometimes you'll see the massive storage ships or tankers. I assume they're coming to Avonmouth or somewhere like that. But you're seeing these tankers come along the channel. And when they're heading back out again against the prevailing wind, you can see that they don't make any progress sometimes in a big, strong autumn or winter storm. And those ships, they stay there, basically. They're either anchored, perhaps, because they've given up, or they're trying to make headway against the winds, but the wind is so strong and they're so big that the engines just can't cope. And there they stay, buffeted, grinding to a halt, while everything is against them. Is that you? I know it's me. While the disciples were down on the lake, in this situation that speaks of their lives on the inside and the outside, while they were there, Jesus was on the mountainside praying. No doubt praying for other people and praying for them. While we are down here on the lake, Jesus is praying for you. He's thinking of you. He's talking to his Father about you. And the passage tells us that there is a boat. There is a boat to be inside. There are others who are in this boat. They're getting thrown around with you. In this world, there is trouble. But there is a boat. Jesus has his church. There is safety in what Jesus provides in his church. And we're thrown about together with the Christians God has gathered us to in the local church. Down here, there's trouble for us all. And above, he prays for us. He prays for the church here. He prays for you. And then you can't miss it. He comes to us. Do you see it there as we heard the word read to us earlier? He comes to us. Romans puts it like this: while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. You and me are sinners. sinners feeling hell all around. And left to ourselves, we don't want Jesus. Even if we change our minds, when we're honest about ourselves and the mess our fallen world is in, and we think to ourselves, I can't do this, I can't cope. Even at that moment, we are powerless to come to Jesus by ourselves. But he comes to us. He comes to us in the middle of the storm. Exactly when you think no one could come along and rescue, Jesus does. And here he is walking over the watery abyss, the sea that the scriptures talk about so much, representing the depths of our lives and of eternity. Jesus is walking over the sea, and all the terror of the deep sea is underneath his feet. He doesn't get swallowed up in our passage as he walks across the water. He treads it underneath his feet. With Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is near, whatever your circumstance. With Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is close to you. And the question isn't, can Jesus do this? The question God asks each one of us is, will you let my son do even more than this for you? What about the real hell? What about the real guilt and shame you feel in your life? Will you let Jesus serve you by taking that away and giving you heaven instead? When Jesus died, he was cut off for you. When he died, he suffered more than any man ever has before or after him will. He made our sins his very own. Though he was guiltless and sinless, he became our sin. He was made guilty, God placing your guilt and my guilt, the verdict that would condemn us, he took that verdict and placed it on Jesus instead. My shame, my guilt, my sin, even my memories and the things that would keep me up at night, he placed them all on Jesus. And he did the same for your shame, for your guilt, for your sin, for your memories. He placed them all on Jesus. And as Jesus died on the cross, he took the real hell on himself, on his shoulders, to remove it from us. See, in Jesus, there is forgiveness from God for you. Jesus brings heaven near. And what he did on the cross enables us to hear his words. They're for us. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. They're spoken to you. When he took your sins, he made an end of them. The guiltless one became guilty, and he made all of us guilty people clean. Death, it could not handle Jesus, the Son of God. He burst from the grave alive. And he lives. He lives, and hell has to obey him. So we're shown. He walks over the water in the passage because he walks over far deeper depths than just the sea. And he does it so that he can come to you and say, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. So tonight the question changes. What will you say back? Will you say to him, Lord, save me? Maybe tonight you're worried you won't get it right, that your words won't be adequate to speak to the living God. We'll take comfort from the passage. You won't get it right. We must do when we talk to God. Peter doesn't. You can see it there in the middle. Jesus has just said, it's I, it's me. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, if it's you. But Jesus is gentle, and he loves Peter, and he loves you. And Jesus' words are not words of correction. He says, come. He says, come. Or maybe it's It's because it is Jesus walking across the water that all the terrors of the sea melt away for Peter. So he says, Lord, if it's you, it is you. Tell me to come to you on the water. Whether you get what you say to Jesus right or wrong, I think the passage keeps it open. But the thing is, ask him. The thing is, whether you get it right or wrong, what you say to him, just ask him, just call on him, talk to him, pray. Pray in the situation you find yourself in your life. Pray. His reply is, come. Come if you're weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. He will bring heaven to you. Come to him in the midst of your problems. Don't wait till it feels like they're being solved or they're going away. Come right then, in the middle of your terror and your fear. Come to Jesus. Come the way you are. Come without fear of getting it right or wrong. Just come. Come to Jesus. That is what the Bible asks us to do, because God loves you. God wants you to come to Jesus. Your situation won't change straight away. Peter sees the wind in the middle of the passage here, and he was afraid again. And you might think, well, Peter's been looked after by Jesus all these weeks and months and years before. Maybe now he'll let him go. Maybe he'll let him sink. Never. Not Jesus. Not when you're asking Jesus. Peter cried, didn't he? Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. And the passage says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. Jesus is always going to save you when you call him. Always. He's always going to respond immediately when you call on his name. He's always going to reach out his hand and always catch Peter. And he will always reach out to you when you call. He will always catch you when you are sinking. We are people of little faith. We doubt when we look at things and we don't look at Jesus. And it's recorded here so that we understand that it's not a why did we doubt as a harsh question, as sometimes we might imagine when we read it. But there's no need to doubt. I have already saved you before your doubts were resolved. That's why Jesus asks that question. It's me. Why do you doubt? I've already saved you before your doubts were resolved. See, that's the way the Son of God is. He saves us before we ever deserve it. It's why he came. He came for people like you and me. Don't you want to be near him? Don't you want to be near him? Truly, he is the Son of God for us, isn't he? And he's the Son of God for you. All of your enemies are under his feet. All your deepest terrors and fears, they have to obey him. He's taken your hell. He loves you. And he has brought heaven near, because it's what he does. If you don't know him yet, why not ask? Why not ask? Why not change your mind about him and say, Jesus, I can't save myself. Will you save me? Lord, save. It is that simple. On the authority of God's word, he promises that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is that simple for you. He's already walked over hell. He's already been through it for you. Don't put your hope in yourself to push problems away. Ask the Son of God to save. That is what he does. And if you know him already tonight, then don't get out the boat. Stay in it and pray. See, like God's provision of Noah's Ark saved the ancient world from the judgment, saved the ancient gathering or church from the judgment, so the church is the boat that Jesus has made for you to live in. There's no safety outside the church. Rather, there's certain terror and sinking. And Jesus is praying for you as you're thrown about in the boat, jostling up against other members, sometimes cramped in the boat. The prayer that you prayed at the start of your Christian life, that first time you called on Jesus' name to save you, well, that same prayer is the prayer for now too. Lord, save me. Lord, help. The prayer of the Bible, help. See, Jesus alone has trodden our fears under his feet. He alone will keep us safe. Keep your eyes on him who loved you and who gave himself for you. It isn't long, as the passage says, before he takes us to shore. And we know the new creation, the taste of which they had there, but the new creation, the new heavens and earth, are waiting for his church. He himself is our hope, and we're nearly there. Shall I pray? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that heaven is near because of Jesus. Lord, that even in the midst of hellish circumstances and of being thrown about on the inside and the out, Lord, Jesus comes to us. And when he comes to us, he speaks those incredible words of don't be afraid, take courage, it's I. Lord, thank you that in Jesus, sins are taken away. Lord, fears go. And Lord, we can take courage. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, every person here, Lord, would know fears melted away. Lord, help us just to call on you. Lord, we know we won't get the words right, Lord, but we know that's okay because it's Jesus coming to us and him saving us. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your son. Lord, help. That's our prayer tonight, help. And Lord, keep your people here at the church at Saltford, Lord, please, together in the boat, Lord. May they know all of the saving and living hope of the Son of God, Lord, as they travel together. Lord, bless them. Here we pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.